So I've prepared just kind of a reflection today prior to our coming together for communion, and we'll begin first with our second scripture reading. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're beginning at verse 16 if you're following along. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please God, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. This is the word of the Lord. I was raised, as I have mentioned before, in the church. I was a pastor's kid, but I was 11 or 12 years old before I began to kind of make that Christian faith. I was brought up with my own, to adopt that as my own in some way. Our family used to spend a lot of time at Lake Tahoe. It was just 20 minutes from where we lived. Carson City, anyone? No, usually not. Okay, good. Carson City High School, yes. 20 minutes up the hill, that was Lake Tahoe. So we used to spend a lot of time there. And especially in the summers with camps and things, we would go to the Presbyterian Conference Grounds at Zephyr Point, which is a wonderful, beautiful place that is actually still open. So I have so many memories there. I remember as a teenager baking way too much in the sun without sunscreen there in Nevada. But I also remember spending time on the sand. There's kind of a cove at that conference grounds that's private to that place. Spending time on the sand with our youth leaders late at night, coming down from our cabin and laying there and just looking at the stars. There's not a lot of light around. It was also very quiet. The only sound that we would hear would kind of be the water lapping on the shore. There's all those big rocks at Lake Tahoe, big stones. It's really beautiful. And there was this buzzing fluorescent light behind us someplace on the road, so the campers could kind of get down the really steep climbs down to the beach. So it cast light, but it was different. It was buzzing, it was kind of broken, and it was weakening and burning out. And our leader directed our attention to the stars above. I don't remember exactly what she said, because at that time, I was probably 11 or 12, as I said, and over the years would spend different summers there and grow older. But she spoke that night as we laid on the sand of things that were eternal, things that were really important. She spoke of the difference between the stars and our man-made light and the light behind us. She seemed to know at that age she could be somewhat metaphorical, and she also seemed to know as teenagers that she could appeal to our desires for a firmer foundation at that point, for something steady, for a steady relationship, for something eternal, as I said. It would be many years before I read the scripture in Ecclesiastes that says, eternity is planted in the heart of humankind. It's in there. I consider myself having come to faith at that particular camp, even though I was raised in the church. But that didn't answer all of my questions or alleviate doubts that I had and resolve any of those. It meant I had something or someone to follow and to dedicate my life to. We heard from Elaine today. We'll hear from a few more of you before we're finished with this series. And it's very humbling and a privilege to hear those stories from one another, how God has changed our lives, how we came to faith in Jesus Christ, things that have been hard, and what our lives looked like afterwards, knowing that we had God with us during those times. These kinds of stories are always an option for us. Well, maybe we can do it every year or every couple of years. But I also was telling, I think it was Elaine the other day, that we also will have some more times of fellowship where we're not just after church kind of spending a few moments or a few minutes with one another, 15 minutes. You can't really hear someone's life story in that amount of time. And you can't really hear the hard stuff when you're in the fellowship hall and you're eating the best cookies in town. So we'll have some other times of fellowship where you all and I, we get to know one another, even if you've been together for many years, so that you understand how God has impacted each one of us. You've all spent so much time kind of holding church together in committee meetings and things, and in the kitchen and running around on the property, that it's time for those quieter and fun moments and just fellowship to be able to hear the stories that are important to each one of us. So that's something we're figuring out how to kind of focus on here in the future. I think about the Apostle Paul's story, and of course there's a few places in Scripture where he also shares that. So this next verse is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 7, he says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." I just love that verse. That sums up how we feel sometimes. He says, we always carry around in our bodies these things, these hard losses and hard situations. Think about the physical scars that you might have. Like driving a brand new car off the lot, what does your dad or your mom or your grandpa always say to you with that first car? As soon as you drive it off the lot, it's a used car. And lo and behold, whether you have a loan on it, you've paid for it, a couple days later, that first ding appears in the door or right where your key hit the, and it is, and it carries these scars. It's not worth the money that we paid for it right away, and its value decreases. We reflect on these experiences in our lives, these experiences and these scars that we have, and our value doesn't decrease. It actually increases. Thank you for your permission in that metaphor. Our value as people increases, as we have all those dings that just sometimes keep on happening. Paul says, We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. That's a shift of how we look at those things that have happened to us. Now, maybe you still lose heart, lose hope. It certainly seems there are reasons to. A major transition, a major loss. Sometimes it feels like the losses just keep coming one after another. The state of the world, the things we pray about today, our families and in the world. Those things that happen in life, whether you're left either holding everything, as Elaine was, or you're just wanting to crawl into it and bury yourself with all of it. You also may still be young and just starting out. And so while you know that these things that happen are, they're temporary, and this too shall pass, your parents and grandparents say, and my 100-year-old grandfather used to say, time heals all problems, Rachel solves all problems. And he was right. When you're young, you do feel like it is not temporary. It is extremely important, and it feels like your whole world is falling apart. Paul calls all of these, in verse 17, light and momentary troubles. Easy for Paul to say, right? We don't get why God is allowing these things to happen. They don't feel light. They sure don't feel temporary. Thank you, though. I began rereading C.S. Lewis' The Problem of Pain this week, if you're familiar with that one. He's so dense. His books you have to read a few different times and pull different things out each time. So listen to this quote from C.S. Lewis. The problem of reconciling human suffering with the existence of a God who loves is only unsolvable, as long as we attach a trivial meaning to the word love and look on things as if humankind were the center of them. He says, God does not exist for the sake of humankind. Humankind does not exist for its own sake. We were made not primarily that we may love God, though we were made for that too, but that God may love us, that we may become objects in which the divine love may rest well pleased. While we lament and wonder, why are these things happening to me or to my loved ones or to the world, God's love for us is not dependent on our feelings about God. I'm going to read that one again. God's love for us is not dependent on our feelings about God. In fact, it's not even dependent on what we believe. Does that make sense? Look at the disciples in their doubts as an example. In the Gospel of Matthew, the angel at Jesus' tomb reminds the women who go to find Jesus that he's risen and says he's gone ahead into Galilee where he'll meet the disciples. We love to preach on this, the Great Commission. We call it the Great Commission, which is go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But we leave out the part where it says some of the disciples who then meet him there after he's risen worship him, and some doubted, it says. Some gathered, traveled to see him, and while some worshiped, the others were still doubting. As I said, God's love for us is not dependent on our feelings about God. It's not even dependent on what we believe. God loves us in spite of us. God loves you. God's got you. God's got me. Verse 7, we live by faith, not by sight. That would be a lot easier. That's not what we do. Without our doubts, without our questions, there can be no faith. We had lengthy discussions about this week. Our doubts and our questions inform our faith. Without our questions and our wrestling, there can absolutely be no growth. God's got you. Elaine said something that reminded me of some things, that to be part of a church is to feel like you belong. As one who did youth ministry for a million years, this is so important, and I know it's important to us as adults as well. At home, we've talked about churches we've visited where it took extra work to be known, or to be welcomed, or to serve, or to fit in. You've probably all been to churches like that where it feels like it's just a lot of work to try to get to know those folks and to be able to say, I would love to make cookies, or I have this other gift to offer here at this church. Church and belonging and worship with our brothers and sisters shouldn't feel like a lot of hard work. It should feel pretty easy. So know, each of you and each of you online, you are welcome here at this church, also in the family of God, despite doubts that you may have. Consider this a very open conversation. If you want to talk sometime, you know, and tell me of some of those doubts, or ask questions, or just tell me your story you want to share, or talk about things you've done, you will not offend me with a single thing that you say, and you will not surprise me. It's absolutely okay, and you are welcome here as you are. This is a mystery in which we walk by faith, not by sight. And I'm so glad that this is a letter that Paul's written to other people. He's saying, I'm so glad I have other people in my life to wrestle with these things with. A community in which to walk and work some of these things out and see where God is present and understand more and more. And when I don't, to listen to my brothers and sisters and to understand some pieces along the way. So today we celebrate Holy Communion. As we come to the table, we do not have to have all of it worked out. We may feel curious. We may feel doubtful. We may feel, as one of you talked about, scared. We may feel confused. If you've been a Christian for 20-some years or 40-some years and something really devastating shakes you, it is really normal to feel scared and to start asking some of those questions and to doubt the faith of your childhood or of your teenage years. Whichever place that you are in today, know that God is in the midst of each of those places and in the spaces that feel particularly dark. You are not alone. Jesus is right beside you. As we come to the table today, let's remember we have one another, our family in God, in Jesus Christ, and we walk this mystery together. Amen. Let us pray together. Lord God, your meal and your story through Jesus Christ has been a mystery since the ages began, since you created each one of us. And I think about that a small verse in Ecclesiastes, that eternity is planted in the human heart. We do long for things eternal. We do at times, as the Apostle Paul said, long for our heavenly home. We certainly long for wars to cease and for peace to become a reality throughout all of the earth. Lord, today, as we think about all of our concerns and we think about our disappointments and our grief and loss and our doubts and our questions, renew in us a sense of joy in our salvation. As we come to this table, show us the faces of our sisters and brothers in Christ. Show us just another piece of this mystery in which you do reign, in which you set this table for us, and in which you invite us to come together. We pray together in your name, and now we sing together before we come to this table. Amen.